You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. One guest this week, but an excellent one, is The Athletic's Tim Kawakami. He is a columnist for our publication. He's based in the Bay Area. So if you've read Tim over the years, you know he specializes in the Niners, the Warriors, and the Giants, and the A's, and all the teams that are there. He's also the host of the TK Show podcast, which is more than just a podcast. It's a feed of podcasts. I'll ask him about that, which is now on the fine Odyssey network along with myself. And with that, I welcome Tim Kawakami to the Sports Media Podcast. Tim, how are you?
Richard, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Tim, always good to talk to a fellow person who has a lot of years in the sports media writing game. So I will ask you about the podcast just to give that some pub, but I just had Nate Taylor on in our last episode, and the idea was to pair him up with you in terms of for him what it's like to cover the Kansas City Chiefs, and for you what it's like to cover the Niners. So here's where I want to start. My sense is you probably have a bigger press corps than Nate does in San Francisco. So because of that, how would you define both the opportunities and the challenges of covering the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big team, you know, with a huge audience. You see it on the TV ratings. You see it just in our numbers. You put up an interesting 49ers story, it goes crazy. This has been when they've been bad or when they've been mediocre or when they've been good. It's just pretty consistent. Maybe it spikes sometimes when they're bad. Haven't been bad for a while, but there is this big, you know, driven by Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice, that the dynastic years when so many people kind of came of age as fans, and they're still sticking with the 49ers. There's just this overwhelming, encompassing interest in this team. Mostly like kind of the inner dynamics, kind of how they pick their players, where they screwed up. The quarterback situation is always the 49er quarterback. As we always say, you can't go wrong writing about the 49ers quarterback. You just can't. Obviously, the whole stuff to get to Brock Purdy through Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, and they've assembled these really big personalities. So that just adds to it. You have Kyle Shanahan, who is, you know, the guy to talk to about everything. He's great when he talks. Sometimes he doesn't want to talk that much. It becomes, you know, the method is try to figure out how you can talk to him more. I can do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to overplay it. But then you have, obviously, the, you know, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, who I just wrote about. You have, you know, Debo Samuel. You have these really big, compelling characters that they put in this locker room. Sometimes you look around and go, this is like an all-star team. And most of them are very willing to talk, not all the time. It's very kind of measured. Like, you are getting George Kittle this day, and you're going to get him. And maybe you can hang around and talk to him for a little bit longer. Maybe there's five other people lining up. There's been a line, you know, for Fred Warner. I've been in this line because he's good with anecdotes, details, after he gives his big thing at his locker. But then you have a bunch of people waiting around to talk to him. And he's generally patient enough to talk to everybody, especially if you've got a relationship with him. But it can get like in that line. I will say the number one most important thing with the 49ers, as it would be with any team, certainly any big team, is you got to have relationships with these guys. Like, to ask for the extra time, to ask for the extra color. And it's important you show up. It's important that you try to ask interesting questions that they notice, because they do notice most of the time, and then try to talk to them like human beings afterwards. Because then you get, you know, Trent Williams maybe for 2 minutes after his session, or on a day he's not doing a session. And I find actually kind of, you know, you always try to use things and work with things that you're already doing. My podcast helps me with that sometimes, because they know it exists kind of out there. They don't know, they're not listening to the TK Show podcast or the Four Nights Plus Minus that I do with Matt Barrows on the same feed, like constantly, but they know it's out there. So if I ask them to be on, or there's a question differently that's been brought up, then you have a different relationship with them. Maybe sometimes maybe they like it, sometimes that maybe they don't, but it's different. It's broader. It maybe, you know, fits a different kind of slot than they're just used to from anyone else. So definitely, like in a time like this, certainly the fact that Nick Boza knows me a little bit, knows I've been writing about him, knows I'm thinking, you know, of trying to think about a very specific angle, which I wrote about his Saturday speeches, which are very important to this team. They refer to them constantly. And he's kind of a private, reserved guy. It's interesting that he does these speeches and they talk about them so much. Well, then we, you know, I can get him for 6 minutes after his big podium thing to talk about this, and he's pretty good. Similar, you know, there's, I talked to him about, you know, how much he hates artificial turf last year, again, to the side, because he knew I'd been talking about it. He knew I had a specific take on it, and he was, I won't say happy, but he was willing to talk about it for, you know, 7-8 minutes and said some really interesting stuff. It's big team, tons of media, you know, 30 media people in that room, camera crews from who knows where, when it's open. It hasn't been open last week or so, because it's just too much for them. But when you're in there, make sure they know who you are. Make sure you're not dumb asking stupid questions, but also asking questions that maybe make them think a little bit. Then you get a little extra. Now, sometimes it doesn't always work. Debo Samuel will not give me the time of day. Maybe that's my fault. I don't know. He's a little more tricky a personality. That's okay. Everyone has their own quirks. But then you try. You still try. And you get the extra stuff if you work it that hard. That's just my general thing. And with a team like 49ers, you really do have to work it. But the, you know, the best stories come from that. I'm not the only one who's doing it. But it's the best kind of stories. I just think it's a richer scene when you have pre-established relationships and you know the team well enough to be very specific in the stuff you're asking.
So, you know, I think anybody who listens to this podcast knows that it's really been a horrific year in terms of media layoffs, everywhere, from major places like the Washington Post and Sports Illustrated to smaller publications. At this point, Tim, if you could give a sense for my listeners, how many sort of newspapers are covering the Niners? Roughly, like, how many television stations are there, like digital or web-based centric publications? You mentioned about 30. That's a pretty sizable daily contingent.
That's now.
An NFL team.
I would say, because you always got to count, an NFL Network brings three, you know, like right. You have ESPN. I would say on a daily basis, non-Super Bowl, just take a, you know, November day and a November Wednesday, say what, 4 or 5 newspapers, which obviously is way down from what used to be when I, you know, in the 80s, when I would pop in as a young writer, it would probably be, you know, 10 papers, 11, 12, but now it's 4 or 5. But then you have the digital sites, you know, you have NBC Sports Bay Area, you have a few others. So probably 10 to 12 on a daily basis, because then you have your local TVs will pop in, and, you know, local TVs are going to pop in on 49ers. So probably 3 camera crews, but then you have NFL Network and you have all the other, you know, you always have that stuff around. They're always around. And, you know, the players like talking to the team video camera, frankly, and they're going to get some time. I do appreciate they don't get too much extra time. They're kind of in there with us. But, on a meaty day in the regular season, you're probably at 15 to 20 every day in that locker room. Doesn't mean they're all getting, you know, all asking questions. Doesn't mean they're all have relationships with players. But 15 to 20 with 10 people who are regulars. 10 to 12 who are regulars, but then obviously it all multiplies during the playoffs. Hasn't gotten too crazy yet. It will, obviously, starting, you know, today, tonight at the Super Bowl. But, you know, the one good thing about covering a big team in the West Coast is the East Coast guys tend to stay on the East if there's an East Coast team to cover, right? Or Kansas City, they tend not to come out. And I experienced this with the Warriors, even the Warriors, which had a ton of coverage, no question, especially when a guy named Kevin Durant was on the team. But even then, if there was a big Eastern thing to cover, they would tend to stay East and then get to the Warriors on the final round. It's similar with the 49ers. And maybe that's a media industry thing, too. There just isn't the money to spend to send all these East Coast guys to the West. But it wasn't that huge at the NFC Championship game, even. You know, it was heavy. We know it's heavy, but it wasn't gargantuan like it's going to be. And I'm sure it was in the AFC games, where you just have more riders, more platforms, more things that are going to just naturally end up there. And they're all going to obviously going to be the Super Bowl, which is one reason why I'm not at the Super Bowl week right now. I've made the conscious decision not to go. I've done, you know, 12 Super Bowls, however many, I can't even count. I've done enough of them, and you don't get new stuff from them traditionally. And relationships don't matter that much, because CBS is going to get CBS camped out at Levi Stadium the last 2 days of our access. And we had to walk around, like we had to go a different way in the stadium, because it's like a theme park at Levi Stadium. That they put up these curtains, they had all these computer banks, and you had to be quiet around them. They had to go through a bathroom to get to listen, it's CBS, they're paying for it. At some point you understand it, but it was wild. I mean, it was dark and hushed and curtains. And you know, normally we walk 40 yards, whatever, 80 yards to go from where they have the press conferences to our media room. And we could not do that because CBS had just parked there. And it just it's a symbol. They own this event. They get the extra time. They get the players to sit down. We get whatever is left over. That's what the Super Bowl, in large part, tends to be.
Will you be going to the Super Bowl later this week to come?
Yeah, I'm going to go Friday.
Oh wow!
So I'm skipping. Yeah, but there's a whole lot to do with it. Which, you know, we have all these national writers at the Athletic, and they want their time, and they're going to write the stuff that I've written, or they're going to write something that I would want to write. And let's give them all the opportunity. Let me not, you know, get in their way. Maybe I'll get in their way during the game. I've thought about that, but I kind of have a way of getting my own angles. But also the NBA deadline's on Thursday. It's never really happened like this. The Warriors might do something large. I do both teams. So let's stick around. I would not want to have been in Las Vegas fighting through all the circus there to write the same stories or versions of the same stories I've already written, while the Warriors do something huge. I'm not sure they're going to at this point. I kind of thought they were when I made this plan. That's okay. And I don't mind. We have great national writers. Let them do it. And then I'll drop in for the last few days and do the game.
Let me go back to the Niners for a second. What kind of access do the reporters have to Brock Purdy on a daily basis?
There's a relationship one there. It's one, you know, he does once a week pressers as starting quarterbacks do. There's nothing official other than that, obviously, and after games. But he's around. Like, he's not, he walks around there on the days he's not talking at the podium. And you can chat with him. And I chat with him all the time. And, you know, again, if you have an established relationship, you can say, hey, can you talk to me about, you know, something else when you got time? Now, he's going to meetings and all that stuff. But he's like happy. He's okay. If you can do it here, let's talk for an extra 5-7 minutes. I've had a couple of those because I spent time chatting with him last season just to know, I get it. I understand there are details in your career that are very interesting that, like, maybe if you pay a special attention to. His relationship with Tyrese Halliburton is the one I'd kind of been talking to since last year. Halliburton wore his jersey to a game last season when Purdy was a fill-in and kind of a new story. That's right. Iowa State, interesting. And then realize they're freshmen together and really are friends, not just like associates. And I'd been chatting about that with Purdy, you know, off and on. That's one of the benefits I have of covering multiple sports is other athletes love to talk about the other sports. Like, they love it. It's just how they talk. It's just kind of small talk to them. So I started talking to him about Halliburton's season. Things are going great. He's asking me, is he going to win the MVP? He's like, oh, it's interesting that you're asking me about, you know, are you going to win the MVP? And so I got Halliburton. I talked to Purdy. It's not like he's available all the time, but that's one where a relationship really, really matters. And he does chat. I don't know if that will change. I don't think it's going to change if you're just around. You can't just say, give me 30 minutes for Brock Purdy. But he's pretty accessible. Like, you know, for as big as he is, as big a storyline as he is, at least. And as much as I talk about the Purdy discourse, where he's either the greatest quarterback of all time or horrible, there seems to be no in between, you know, from the outside, you know, kind of leering conversation. This guy's very accessible. He's very like, you know, again, he's not the most colorful talker, but if you ask something very specific that he's kind of interested in, you can talk to him. I mean, people are talking to him for 5 minutes, 8 minutes here or there, in a way that, you know, probably you couldn't do with some other, you know, established quarterback.
For a starting quarterback on a Super Bowl team, I feel like that's pretty good. I want to ask you one about Kyle Shanahan. You know, he just, as we're taping this, I haven't read it yet, but it seems like Peter King, I think, took a ride with him and led his column with that. And what strikes me is it seems like Kyle Shanahan, and maybe it's because he grew up in a football family, but he seems pretty good about certainly talking to national media. What is he like with the people who are like yourself who are there on like kind of a day-to-day basis?
He's pretty good. I mean, he's very good when you get to him. You know, it's sometimes it's tougher to get to him. I have a very good relationship with him. I do get to him probably more than most. One thing I do appreciate is he doesn't do a lot of national stuff. He really doesn't. I mean, Peter, for a Super Bowl, in such respect, you're going to do that. It's very rare. Again, I haven't read Peter's piece yet. I am definitely going to. He doesn't pick up the phone for the, you know, I'm not going to name insiders because they're all good, but he doesn't. Like some coaches do. We know off the record, we know they do this. Kyle doesn't really do it. No, you know, they take pride that they don't leak. They leak something. Like, you know, everybody leaks CAA. We know how all that stuff works. Everybody does some of it. The 49ers included. Injury updates, whatever. You get it through the CAA pipeline. That's okay. That's just understood. But with Shanahan is good. Like if you get him for 6 minutes, he's incredible for 6 minutes. If you know, he just doesn't always make himself available because he's studying the film. He's doing other things. He's talking to the players. His energy is directed that way. And then when it's not 49ers, he is with his family. And I appreciate and understand all this. As someone who does an annual podcast with him, that's the only podcast he does, which I definitely do appreciate. But it's a hard schedule, Richard. It is a hard schedule. It's not because he wants to be difficult. It's just because he's doing so many other things and it's hard for him to block out 45 minutes. This is where I'm going to sit down with Tim. We do it every year. I don't want it to be easy. If it was easy, then everybody would probably do it. Again, it's very, very hard. I have to block out like when I'm going to go on vacation to schedule it, but it's worth it. It's a good thing. It's worth it. But he doesn't do like the chatty, you know, I'm sure he'll sit down for CBS, but he hasn't sat down like for Fox in years. He hasn't sat down, you know, we can name the things where people normally sit down or do the long talks or do the behind the scenes stuff. He doesn't do that. And I like that. And it reminds me of Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh was like that. Now Harbaugh more like hated the national guys and they hated him. And you've seen some of that play out in the college coverage, right? The college and national guys hate him. They can't stand him. Okay, I get along with him. It's a different relationship. But and Kyle's not like that. He just has his thing. I'm going to do my thing. And if there's enough room in my thing, I'll sit down certainly with Peter King. I'll call Adam Schefter back or somebody like that, Seth Wickersham. But it's not going to be a regular thing, and it's got to be on my terms. And you know, I don't know where the thought process is. I got to take care of the local guys first, but it does seem to fit that way. And believe me, the local people appreciate that. The ones who are thoughtful, the ones who are there and asking them, you know, decent questions and maybe get some follow-ups afterwards or get another 3 minutes over here. The fact that he's not all over, you know, with Fox. Fox is the one that Mike Nolan, old 49er coach, if Fox wanted him, Fox got him. And we didn't get him. And I did not appreciate that, and I don't think any local media would appreciate that. And it does happen a lot, and doesn't tend to happen with Shanahan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Couple more here. This is pretty interesting to me. And then I want to finish up with your podcast so that people know, especially if they're San Francisco, Oakland-based fans, where they can listen to. You worked in Philadelphia, although now you've been in the Bay Area for a long time. I haven't been to the Bay Area that much. I've been to San Francisco twice. It really is a beautiful city. But my sense is that, like, as a sports city, it's San Francisco and Oakland must be very, very different than Philly and New York and Boston. And as someone who covers sports there, how would you say it is different or unique in itself as a sports city? Or cities, if I'm going to include Oakland.
Oakland, San Jose, you could put in there.
San Jose too, right, yep.
But I was in LA for 10 years. So
that's right.
When I covered the Lakers. So I kind of plot the Bay Area in the middle of that, maybe more towards the LA spectrum than the East Coast spectrum for sure. I mean, I started in Philly and that was crazy. I mean, Eagles, Buddy Ryan, Randall Cunningham. It was a great way to start where, like, I was 22 years old and I'd order a pizza and people ask my name and they'd know who I was. 22 years old ordering a pizza in Philadelphia. That was different. Like, there will never be something like that where I'm like, people recognize me on the street at 23 years old because I cover the Eagles, because I'm right for the Daily News, because I'm on the radio, I'm on the TV. LA, you know, and I went right to the Rams and it was way more diffuse, way more like blasé. Lakers is intense, but it's Lakers is intense in a very LA way. I'll say the 49ers is the most like the East Coast that the Bay Area has. It is rabid. It is nuclear at times. It's fire, everybody. Get rid of it. It is remarkably, impulsive and angry and overjoyed. And like, that is a rabid fan base. It's a huge fan base. So when you have it that large, you're going to have more crazies. And they are crazy. I mean, this is like, you could just do 49ers talk show, boom. You know, and people would call and want to fire Kyle Shanahan, fire Brock Purdy. Like, this is the 49er fan base that is, that makes it so rich to write about and be involved with, but also can make it very tricky sometimes emotionally. The Warriors can get that. Warriors is more like the newbie fan base is crazy, but the old diehards are not as insane about things. People get a little insane about, Kerr and
there's such a national team to me though. Like they attract. Yeah, I know you were talking about like maybe people from the East Coast don't make it over, but even like living in New York, like the Warriors always felt like a national team to me. They're
Laker-like at this point. That was the goal, was to make, just a brand. It's certainly not as deep and as rich as the Lakers, but they definitely look to the Lakers as a model, stars, glamour, that sort of thing. They're not there yet. But the Lakers, the Warriors, because they've won so much, because of Steph Curry, are a little different. But the Bay Area tends to get hot, 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 and then drop. And the team just drops, right? And then maybe they get hot, hot, hot again. The Giants are experiencing this. Like they won 3 World Series not that long ago. 14 was the last one. It's 10 years ago. You would think there would be a generation of fans who just watched this team win, and yet it's fallen off because they're not interesting. They don't have a star. They're just in this quest for a star. You need to get that going, or else things really drop off. So I just think what you have in the Bay Area is this large demographic of sports fans, but they tend to kind of shift around, except for with the 49ers. That one, they do not. It's really become telescoped in on the 49ers Warriors, obviously. But if it's an off-season day and the choice is between the 49ers and the Giants, I'm going to mostly do 49ers. I am fortunate that the two sports that I covered, you know, when I was young and really know well, are the NFL and the NBA. And those are the two hot stories, certainly in the Bay Area with the Warriors. Maybe it's different in other markets, but the Warriors are, you know, incessantly, constantly, you know, enjoyably interesting. And the 49ers. And those are the two teams and two sports where I know agents and assistant coaches and gentlemen. I mean, those are just the two sports. So I can always focus on those two. I have some insight, or at least can pick up the phone and have some insight on those two. And it just tends to be the most audience friendly. It tends to be the one people, you know, I'm not purposely only writing about things that I know people will read about, but certainly that's part of it. That's part of the business. And the Bay Area reacts to that stuff, to the hot team in the moment with decisions to be made. And the 49ers, I will say, I mean, I was saying this even when the Warriors were huge, which was not that long ago. 49ers probably were still more consistently the bigger draw. They just, there's something about them. And now with the Warriors kind of dimming, it still spikes at times with Steph Curry's 60-point game, etc. But the 49ers are the consistent draw. They're the number one team in the Bay Area.
All right, that's interesting. Last one from me. By the way, just so the audience knows here at The Athletic, Tim and I actually share the same editor, which is very interesting because we do different things. But a shout out to Zach Pierce, who's a
poor Zach,
but a great guy to work with. But yes. He has a lot on his plate. Lastly, Tim, I want to get to your podcast, and you are part of. I think are you on three of them now, or two?
We have a feed, TK Show feed, where I have a TK Show where I do interviews, and we have the 49ers Plus Minus, which I launched recently with Matt Barrow, beat writer. We talk about 49ers just because the 49ers interest is just so much, and because I listen to so much 49ers content, I thought, well, why don't I just do some of it? Trying to do similar to the Warriors Plus Minus show, which is still at The Athletic, Marcus Thompson, actually, kind of behind the scenes. What does it really mean? What are people really thinking and saying? So we're trying to bring that to the 49ers show, 49ers Plus Minus. And then I have North and South, which is also on the feed. It's just talking California sports with the LA Times, Dylan Hernandez, which I really saw as like, there just isn't anything that does this. And the Ringer does their cities. The Ringer doesn't, you know, funny that they're based in LA and they don't have a California show, you know, other than Bill, but Bill's talking mostly about the Celtics and Patriots anyway. So I just thought, like, listen, let's try it. Let's have a conversational piece between two columnists who go to stuff. Very important to me. We go to stuff. It's become a Shohei Ohtani, Jim Harbaugh show, which is fine. I think that might do okay. And we launched that. So it's three shows. I kind of populate it. Two or three of them will be every week, sometimes more. I drop in some of my interviews, like these 5-minute interviews, which are very valuable. So there was one with Jed York last week, and then the one with Nick Bosa I released that were both during the week last week. And then I released the Nick Bosa one today. Just little snippets of kind of like, you know, real life things. People don't have to think it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's a little different. It's not the group interview. It's the separate, you know, unique conversation. And I could probably have even put up the group interview, but I decided not to. And just throw it out in the feed, see how it does. And hope people enjoy listening to it. They seem to have, you know, certainly not disappeared. It's out there. People are listening to it. That's what we're doing with these podcasts.
Yeah. I've always thought you're an excellent podcast host. So I'm glad to see that that's expanding. So the one thing I, you know, you are someone obviously who can talk on a national level, but you have these podcasts that are either city or in this case, like the California one, state specific. So my final question for you is, I wonder, in your now years of doing podcasts, if you think that where success is heading forward is something that's tight and niche, or do you think there still could be room for a broad-based podcast to talk about, you know, national sports broadly? And here's my caveat, with the exception of obviously if you're like Travis and Jason Kelce, who are famous. My thought is that I think at this point, the podcast medium has probably matured to the point where I think you could still get in, but I do think probably your best bet to maybe hit would be something more niche than broad. That's just my take. How do you say?
I agree. I mean, listen, you have great national shows, and I do listen to Rosillo and whatever. I mean, there's really interesting, but you better be good. Like you better be,
or you better have a name, or you better have some built-in audience.
Absolutely, and you better have entree to good guests, whatever. But I do think where I've just naturally gone to, because like so much of this is based on my own habits, like what I'm looking for, what I want to listen to, and where I feel there might be a need. Yeah, it's local, knowing, understanding. Insidery stuff that you can't get elsewhere, or if you do, you want more of it. And you know, conversational. This is what people who ask me about podcasts, it's got to be conversational. It can't be stop. But it's got to have people who are in a relationship like you and I, where there's a back and forth, there's an understanding. And I use Warriors Plus Minus, which is, again, a podcast I started with Marcus right as the Warriors were really starting to blow up. And we turned to each other, we got to do something here because we understood what was going on. Steph Curry is a phenomenon that cannot be, you know, duplicated, will never be duplicated in the history of this franchise, maybe not in the NBA. We better do something. So we started it. Anthony Slater joined it when we got to The Athletic. Ethan Strauss has been on it. He's now off on his own thing, obviously. But it's insight. Like we're in the locker room. We're seeing the looks people give each other. We hear the whispers. We can't report everything, but we can intimate. We can suggest. Marcus is obviously super close to Steph Curry, which is kind of valuable, has been valuable for quite some time, has been valuable to The Athletic. And, you know, I have my own relationships. I talk to people in the corridors. And I just think that, and it's a, you know, very valuable podcast. It's so valuable that The Athletic wouldn't let me take it. That's how valuable it was. And and believe me, people are interested in it. And I just think if you can take that sort of thing, doesn't have to be exactly like that, but we're there. You know, the great thing that we have that has value is we are in the locker room. We are asking questions. There, as you say, that number is dwindling, right? That is not a big number. Probably wasn't a huge number even at the heyday. It is a very small number now. Every day, understand when Kyle Shanahan says this and it's slightly different than he said it 5 days ago, there's a meaning to that. He's not going to say what the meaning is, but we can talk about the meaning. And beyond that, there's, you know, the relationship I have with Harbaugh, there's something there. There's value in the ability to talk about that kind of between the edges, kind of not what I can put down on my column. I wrote a blog back in the old Wild West days for the Mercury News that was just kind of me, you know, my thoughts, my interviews, just kind of raw, like before I put it together for a column, I kind of worked my way to a column. And it became the most popular thing I've ever done at the Mercury News. It became actually bigger than the columns that I was working to because it was so freeform. Now, The Athletic would never want that. The Athletic is, you know, very, very straight laced. And I didn't, you know, there's issues with that I've had with them, but that's fine. It's the way they do it. And I have not been able to do anything close to the blog, and I do miss it. I've said that.
Well, your career is not over, Tim. I mean, maybe whatever your next evolution is, you'll have something that's more personal.
I can't say that, but you can say that. And I just think that stuff, there's always a lane for that stuff.
I agree. People want to connect. There's the reason why blogs exploded when they did, and now obviously a lot of those people who were forerunners of the blogs have sort of graduated to either legacy publications or their own sort of businesses, is because like it's a one-on-one connection with each reader, and then like you feel like I know what you're talking about, and I remember the pieces that you did on that, and I felt like I was getting to know you. As opposed to you as the independent observer, right? Sort of giving a thought on something else.
Yeah, fitting into a certain prescribed slot. Again, that's fine. I do kind of think of it as all media, and
it is. Well, that's why you having your own forum podcast, I think, is great, because that gives you a lot of, whether The Athletic owns whatever it owns or not, and this podcast intentionally is independent from The Athletic, but I think that gives you such a creative forum to sort of do and talk and go into places you want to go to.
I agree. And I think that's why we're both doing this, Richard. I definitely agree.
It's not for the money, Tim. I agree with you.
I just say, I just as we watch this media implosion, I'm just always stunned. And I have had these conversations, like these new media companies all take on all these old media habits. And I don't understand why. And I've had these.
Well, you saw the, I'll probably get into in a future podcast, but you saw the Messenger using sort of an outdated model. And it's just heartbreaking for all the people who obviously got hired there and now are looking for work in an industry where it is incredibly hard to find work these days. So, I agree with you on that. All right, Tim Kawakami covers all the Bay Area for The Athletic. He's a columnist there. And then check out, especially if you're into any of the California teams, the TK Show podcast as well as its feed. He broke down who he does the podcast with. And also shout out to our fellow colleague, Marcus Thompson, who honestly may be the most gifted writer at a site that has some incredibly gifted writers. That guy is just, he is a world-class talent. Tim, whenever you do get to Vegas, travel safe. I admire you for not going for the first 5 days of that circus. It'll be very calm and relaxing before you enter the Vegas storm. But
I'll just drop in the middle of it, right? It's going to be the hurricane of
like the flying Elvises and leaving Las Vegas, basically.
We'll see how it works.
Nicolas Cage. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be reading you, Tim Kawakami. Everybody, check him out on all his various places as well as on Twitter/X. Tim, thank you. Great catching up with you.
Anytime, Richard. Appreciate it.
All right, back in the studio. My thanks to Tim Kawakami, who's always been a great colleague of mine at The Athletic. We text often, and just a really incredibly talented dude, and I'm happy to see his success. This one is paired up with a podcast that came out this Monday. And that's with Nate Taylor, another great colleague at The Athletic, and he covers the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I wanted to do the two teams that are in the Super Bowl and sort of give you guys a sense of like what it's like to cover those guys. Previous podcasts include, we had John Lewis on this week, talk about the Taylor Swift impact on the Super Bowl, Ray Ferraro, Sean McDonough, ESPN NHL broadcasters. Paul Feinbaum was on this podcast not too long ago talking about Nick Saban's retirement. Head to the archives. There should be stuff you like. Again, if you like this stuff, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice note. That is how this podcast continues. Want to thank Patrick Antonetti for all his hard work. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.